that, but he preached a great message on Wednesday night. If you missed it, you should go ask him about it, because it was very good. Out of the book of Genesis, show me some things I had never seen, some connections in God's word that I had never seen, some threads tied together that I had left loose before. So God showed us something special on Wednesday night. You should ask him about it. It would be 100% worth your time. He's going to come today and preach to us again, and then he'll preach for us again next Wednesday night.
Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 39. We're putting on, what do you call it? Not the princess light. Is there a name for it?
Captain.
Captain light. Fill in the captain, I should say. Lights on. All right, Genesis chapter number 39. Appreciate what Dave said. Always an honor to fill the pulpit when needed. Yeah, like Dave said, we're talking about the story of Joseph and really how his life ties into the life of Christ, how he is a type of Christ in the Bible. That doesn't mean that he is. It just means that he is like him, and a lot of his story lines up with Jesus Christ's story. And we started in Genesis 37, the first chapter, about how he was sold and thrown in the pit by his brothers. And then the last verse in chapter 37 says that he was sold to the Egyptians, which would be Potiphar. So we're going to pick up in chapter 39. So if you go ahead and stand, I'll read the first six verses. I will pray. Because Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. It came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you again for the day that you've given us. Thank you for the congregation that's here together. I pray that you would make your presence known to us, and that you would speak to my heart, speak to the hearts of people through your word, and that you would be able to get emotional application of this story, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can be seated. So, just starting off here, already said, Joseph has been thrown in the pit. And he was sold, and now he's in Egypt, okay? And as soon as he gets to Egypt, things start going well for him again, okay? Again, he has the dream that his brothers would bow down to him, which hasn't happened yet. But when he got thrown in the pit, he probably thought, this isn't going how I thought it would go. But now he's starting to prosper again. After he gets sold, made overseer in Potiphar's house, as we see here in Genesis 39. So he gives him rule and access to all that he has. Okay, he's basically Potiphar's second in command. Potiphar doesn't hold anything from him, save his wife. Okay, we'll see that in a couple minutes. But I want you to notice verse 2 and 3. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Okay, the Lord was with Joseph no matter where he went. Okay, it wasn't because of who Joseph was, but it actually was because of what he did. Okay, how obedient he was to God. So the Lord was with Joseph. And then notice verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Okay, his master was probably an unsaved man. The Egyptians, from history, you can read how wicked of a people they were. The gods that they had and everything that they did with sacrifices and everything, that's a whole separate study. But Joseph was in a wicked land, okay, in a wicked man's house, and he was still having the Lord with him, okay? It's not just because the Lord just said, it doesn't matter what Joseph does, I'm just going to be with him, but it was because Joseph was obedient. So here's the application here from verse 2 and 3. People can see when the Lord is with you. Unsaved people can see when the Lord is with you, and they can see when the Lord is in you, okay? In the words that you say, your actions, in word and in deed, but they can also see, and here's the scary part, when he's not, okay? If you're claiming to be a Christian, and your actions and your words say otherwise, unsaved people aren't foolish, okay? They're foolish to the preaching of the cross, but to your testimony, they can see it pretty plainly. So they can see when the Lord's with you, or they can see when he's not. But notice here, Joseph, whatever Joseph put his hand to, the Lord blessed it and prospered it. And again, it wasn't because of who Joseph was, but it was because of how he was, how much he wanted to obey God. God blessed Joseph because of his obedience to him. So if you find grace in the eyes of God, like Joseph, then even your enemies aren't going to have anything bad to say about you. Okay, that doesn't mean that they won't, but what they do say will most likely be a lie. But go ahead and hold your finger in Genesis 39 and turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter number 2 and verse 8. He says, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So if you have sound speech, okay, the sound speech to have is the Bible, okay, you're talking about Christ. Somebody who doesn't believe in Christ says of the contrary, they're going to be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about you. Okay, it's not because you believe in God, but it's because, not only because you believe in God, but you obey what he says. So your enemies aren't going to have anything to say against you, but just because they have nothing to say doesn't mean that they're not going to make up a lie. Okay, and we see that in the story of Joseph in verse 7. We'll get there in a minute, but back to verse 5 here, it says, and it came to pass, back in Genesis 39, verse number 5, and it came to pass from that time that he made an overseer in his house and over all that he had, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. So God blessed the Egyptian's house, the wicked Egyptian's house, living in a wicked land, because of Joseph, okay? Because he was obedient to God. And as soon as Joseph got there, things started to get better for that Egyptian household. As soon as he got there. And again, verse number 3. The master saw that the Lord was with Joseph. Okay, he could see there's something different about Joseph. And he probably thought, man, as soon as that guy got here a month ago, things just started prospering in my house. He knew that there was something different about that man. So, as a Christian, you want to make your workplace a better place, okay? If Joseph, as a sinful man like me and you, can go into a wicked place, in a wicked man's house, and live there with him, and make it a better place, and the Lord be with him, I think we ought to be able to do the same. We ought to be able to do the same. So as a Christian, you ought to make your workplace a better and a happier place to be. As a Christian parent, your home ought to be a happy place. Your kids ought to feel happy when you're around. Amen. It should be a place that is blessed by God because you are there. Okay? It doesn't matter if you're in the pit. It doesn't matter if you're in the palace or if you're in the prison. If you're doing God's will, that place isn't going to seem so bad. Because no place is bad where the Lord is. So anywhere you go, when you get there, people want to notice that there's something different about you. Right? When you walk into a room, you want to light it up. Okay? Don't put the light on yourself. Right, Ronald? Point it to Christ. I always remember that Ronald saying that. It made so much sense to me. But you know what? Sometimes when I go into these situations, I feel like I make it worse. And I know you guys sometimes feel the same. But you walk into an awkward situation or you come home and all of your kids are crying and screaming, right? What are we going to do? What are you going to do to make that situation better? Okay, when your kids are just losing their minds, like mine do sometimes, what do I do to make that better? Do I go into that situation and just completely make it worse because I'm not walking in the Spirit, because I'm not being obedient to God? Sometimes I feel like I do, and I don't make it any better. But if you're walking in the Spirit, and you're being obedient to God like Joseph, you're going to light up the room, right? People are going to just be happier when you're around. There's a reason that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. Okay, if you have joy, other people are going to have joy, unless they're just completely miserable and lost without Christ. But hopefully, your testimony will point them to Christ so that they can have joy. The only joy is in Jesus. So notice verse 6. It says, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. So it got to the point of trust between Potiphar and Joseph, and Potiphar became so wealthy that he had so much stuff. I have a lot of stuff. Not gold or silver. But he had so much stuff that he didn't even know what he had on him. He literally couldn't keep track of it all. And he put Joseph in charge of it. The only thing he knew that he had was the bread that was set in front of him. Right, so he had a lot of trust for Joseph. He didn't even know what he had. He put Joseph in charge of it all. So then verse 7, here's the temptation of Joseph. Starting verse 7, it says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he had into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. He's not being prideful. And he says, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And verse 10, 11, and 12, I'm not going to read it, but she just goes to him day after day, time after time, and tries to tempt him. And he continually escapes the temptation. But we see the last time that she tempts him, verse 11, it came to pass about this time, Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, why with me? And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Okay, so just because your enemies have nothing to say doesn't mean that they won't come up with some lie. And let me say this, the enemy of God should be your enemy too. Okay, an enemy of God is somebody who hates God and is rebellious and wicked, curses the name of God. You should not want to be around that type of influence. Okay, I'll just say that. But also you should pray for them, because God wills for all men to be saved. Okay? Don't hang out with them. Just try to be a witness to them. But Potiphar's wife, in obedience to the flesh, in obedience to Satan, she tempts Joseph. Okay? But we see that she comes up with this lie. She gets his jacket, probably ripped it off of him, but he runs away. Okay? A good thing to do when you're tempted is to literally run away. Get away from what is tempting you so that you don't sin. If your phone is causing you to stumble, get rid of it. Don't be alone with it. Okay, we'll talk a little more about that. But Jesus was tempted and Joseph was tempted, okay? Wednesday I talked about how Joseph, again, is a type of Christ, and a lot of things that Jesus went through, we can see in the story of Joseph. So Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Joseph was tempted in Egypt. Jesus overcame the temptation by quoting scripture, and Joseph overcomes the temptation with the help of God. But you know what? Again, Joseph was just a man. Okay, if you say he had some supernatural ability, say no, he didn't. He was just a man, a sinful man. Right? He sinned. He was not perfect, just like you and me. So she grabs him by the garment, we see here in verse 12, and he runs away. Again, that's a good thing to do when you're tempted. Don't be alone with temptation. So she comes up with a false story. And we see in verse 19, it says, the king asked his master, heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. So we see the master who trusted Joseph with everything that he literally didn't even know that he had, he's now angry to the point of throwing Joseph in prison and forgetting about him completely. Okay, Potiphar is not mentioned again in this story of 13 chapters. So she comes up with a story. And he's the master is angry. But I want you to notice verse 20. Okay? Verse 20, it says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. So, he gets accused, he gets arrested, he gets thrown into prison. But you know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say that he fought it. Okay? It doesn't say that he said, no, I didn't do this. Because in his mind, we know, okay, he very well could have, but it doesn't say that he did. When he is accused and arrested, it doesn't say that he defended himself or tried to escape or even spoke a word. He just took it, kind of like Isaiah 53:7. Okay, Jesus was led as a lamb to the slaughter, spoke not a word. You guys remember that. So when you're accused, you can respond in one of two ways, okay? Probably three ways. You can respond in a godly way, you can respond in an ungodly way, or you can just not say anything at all and let your testimony speak for itself. Okay? Joseph let his testimony speak for himself. And I think that's what I ought to do more often than try to defend myself. And probably the same for you. Because I could not just talk about making things worse when I walk into an awkward situation or when my kids are screaming and crying. When you respond to God's enemies in an ungodly way, you just make things worse. You just make things worse. You're doing you're doing worse for the kingdom of God than good. Okay? And our goal is to make God's kingdom bigger by taking people to heaven with us. And if we're just reacting in ungodly ways, that's not how God intended it to be. So you make things worse when you respond to God's enemies in ungodly ways. Verse 21, chapter 39, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So God was with Joseph when he was not in the pit. He was with Joseph when he was in the pit. And now it says that God is with him when he's in the prison. Again, it doesn't matter where you are. If you're obedient to God, the place isn't going to seem so bad. Even in the prison, God is with Joseph. And we see that the keeper of the prison, much like Potiphar, he put things into Joseph's hand, and out of trust, he didn't even worry about it. Okay? Joseph was an honest, a faithful, and a trustworthy man. He was able to be trusted. And can I say that we need more men like that? We need more men like Joseph. And again, he's just a man. He didn't do anything that we couldn't do ourselves. And then, chapter number 40. This is where we're going to spend a majority of our time trying to draw a devotional application out of this. But there's a couple things, a couple cool things I want you to notice here. I think they're cool, you might not. But chapter number 40, starting in verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butler, and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them inward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season inward. So notice verse 3, that it says that Joseph was bound, okay? He probably, because he was given so much trust, he probably had free time. He probably had freedom to roam around, but he was still a prisoner. Okay, he was still a prisoner. And then verse 4, we see that he was given two prisoners to watch over. So let me ask you something, and you can respond. Did Joseph do anything to deserve prison?
No.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Did Jesus do anything to deserve the cross?
No.
Did the two people that Jesus was with deserve the cross?
Yeah.
Okay, did the two people with Joseph deserve prison? We don't know what they did, but they did something to make the king mad. So basically what we have here is an innocent man between two guilty. Okay? And Jesus was an innocent man between two guilty men. And here's something interesting. The butler would be the one that served the wine. Okay? The butler serves wine. And the baker would be the one who makes the bread. Okay? This is a picture of the crucifixion. Okay? We have two guilty men and one innocent man. We have the butler representing the wine or the blood of Jesus, and we have the baker representing the bread or the body of Jesus. Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood. Take it and eat it and drink it. I thought that was interesting. So then verses 5 through 8, and they dreamed a dream, both both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. Okay, so Joseph comes to them in verse 6, and he sees that there's something wrong with them, and he asks them, and then in verse 9, at the end of it, he said, do not interpretations belong to God, tell me them, I pray you, talking about the dreams. They told him that they had a dream, and that they wanted it interpreted, so he says, well, let me interpret your dream. Then verse 9 says, and the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and he said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossom shot forth, and the clusters therefore brought forth ripe grapes, and Joseph's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Okay, and then we see what this dream means in verse 12 and 13. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand in the former manner when thou wast his butler. Okay, so in 3 days, I just want you while I'm reading this to keep the crucifixion in mind and that whole story. But in 3 days, Joseph says, he's going to be lifted up and he will be restored. So in other words, the butler's sins against the king are going to be forgiven. So the butler would represent the thief who was mocking Christ, but stopped mocking Christ when he realized who he was talking to. And he asked to be remembered when Jesus entered heaven. Okay? His sin was forgiven. And listen, 3 days after he died, okay, because he died around the same time as Jesus because they broke his legs. But 3 days after he died, he was taken to heaven when Jesus led captivity captive, when Jesus took his blood and led those from paradise to heaven. So 3 days. In 3 days, you'll be lifted up. That's a picture of the thief that got his sins forgiven. So the butler has his sins forgiven and he is lifted up. But then the baker, in verse 16 to 19, he has a similar dream, but it has a totally different meaning. It says, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. So he hears, man, this butler had a good dream. What's going to happen to me? I'll tell him my dream now. Verse 17, and in the uppermost basket, there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof, that the three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and, listen to this, shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat thy flesh from off thee. So the baker, he is lifted up, but it's his head that gets lifted up. He does not get his sins forgiven that were committed against the king. And I want you to notice again in verse 19, it says that he will be hanged on a tree. He's the other thief. Okay? The butler is the thief that got his sins forgiven. The baker is the one that continued to mock. Okay? And died in his rebellion and wickedness. And he's burning in hell today. But he's the other thief. And out of all this, I'll just give a quick summary. We have an innocent man between two guilty men. We have the butler representing the wine, the baker representing the bread, and one of them represents the thief that got their sins forgiven, and one of them represents the thief that did not get his sins forgiven, for the simple reason he did not ask. Okay? So out of all this, there's one more interesting point. After Joseph interprets the butler's dream, in verse 14, look at chapter 40, verse 14, Joseph makes a request. He says, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. If you've ever been to a jail and you ask someone what they're in for, they'll tell you they did nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe they believed him, maybe he didn't. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But Joseph, all he wants is to be remembered. All Joseph wants is to be remembered. Okay, again, think about the crucifixion. All Jesus wants is to be remembered. It's a church ordinance, is communion. Do this in remembrance of me. So Joseph interprets the butler's dream, and he just wants the butler to remember him. So we know why we do communion, in remembrance of Jesus Christ. And this story of the butler and the baker is such a clear picture of the cross. I don't think it gets any clearer than that, to be honest with you. So verse 20, it says, it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday is in the Bible, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Notice, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. So everything that Joseph says that was going to happen comes true, because he interpreted the dream with the help of the Lord. He didn't do it on his own. But what does the butler fail to do? He fails to remember Joseph. He forgets Joseph. And you know what? I think a lot can be said about how much we are like the butler. Okay? God saves us, and he has these ordinances and commandments that we're supposed to keep, but we often forget them. We often forget them. You know what? Don't forget about the pit and the prison that God brought you out of. Don't forget about the pit and the prison that God brought you out of. You know, we get going in life, and we get busy, and we forget God in the good times, and we only, most times, call up to God when things aren't going very well for us. Okay, when things aren't going very well for us, that is when we try to get close to God, which is very shameful, I'll say, and I'm guilty of it, but it's a shameful thing that when things are good for us, we don't need God. Okay, we think we only need God in the bad times. But let me say this. Jesus said, remember me. Remember what I did for you. Okay? He brought you out of the pit of hell and broke the chains of sin in your life if you're saved. Don't forget it. So I'm thinking here, based off verse number 15, he's at the end of it, he says, I have done nothing that they should put me into the prison. I'm thinking he didn't tell them what he was in prison for. Okay? So when the butler gets restored, I'm thinking that he was probably hesitant to bring up the name of Joseph. Because everybody that was important was probably at Pharaoh's birthday party. So Potiphar would have been there, unless he had died before, and his wife would have been there. So he's probably thinking, the butler, I don't know what this guy did, so I'm just not going to mention his name because my friend just got his head flopped off and everything else. So I'm just going to just kind of play it cool and fly under the radar. So I'm thinking he was probably ashamed. He's probably ashamed to mention the name of Joseph. I think he was probably just looking out for himself. Okay, he just got brought out of prison. He could have been killed. He doesn't know what Joseph did. He said he did nothing, which everybody says that, right? I did nothing. There's somebody else. They got the wrong guy, right? So he was probably just looking out for himself. And he was thinking about himself so long that it says in verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but he forgot. So I think he was ashamed. I think he was just looking out for himself. So let me ask you, have you forgotten God? Have you forgotten God? And you might be thinking, well, of course not, I'm here at church. Well, let me ask you, what about the other 6 days of the week? What about the other 6 days of the week? What are you doing the other 6 days of the week to remember God? Right? If you remember God, you're going to tell other people what he did for you. What about the rest of the week? Let me ask you, do you forget God when you're tempted? When you're tempted, it's easy to forget God because you just want to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Do you forget God and get ashamed when you're around unbelievers? I have. I'll be the first to tell you that I've been ashamed to mention the name of Christ for an unbeliever. Shameful. But hopefully I take that and say, I'm not going to do that again because of how awful I feel. If you deny Christ in front of your friends, he'll deny you in front of his Father. That's what the Bible says. So how could you possibly forget what God did for you? Hold your finger in Genesis and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter chapter 1, verse number 9, says, but he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. This is talking about a saved person, by the way. Saved people get their sins purged, but they get to the point sometimes to where they forget that their sins were purged. So how can you forget what God did for you? Seems like it's a very hard thing to do, but actually, it's not. So, especially from first-hand experience, okay, I grew up in church. My dad has been a pastor my entire life. I've grown up around the Bible. I've grown up in church. And it's a lot easier to forget what God did for me, personally, because I really never went through anything hard. I never went through anything hard. I'll tell you, I've never sipped alcohol. I've never put a cigarette to my mouth. I've never smoked weed. I've never stepped foot inside of a club. I've never done any of these things. And thanks be to God, most of you can say the same thing. But if not, if you lived that lifestyle before God changed your life, it's easier to remember what God brought you out of if you've been in it. Okay? I haven't been in it. So it's easier for me to forget what God did for me because I'm just as guilty as the person that lived that kind of lifestyle. But they have a better time remembering it because of what God brought them out of it. If you've never been in it, you don't know what you missed. And I'm glad that I missed it, but I don't know what I missed. I don't want to know what I missed. But these people that are saved to the drugs and alcohol and the party lifestyle and gambling, and they get saved on later on in life, when they get saved and God completely changes them inside and out, they have a better chance of remembering what God did for them, what God brought them out of, because they actually experience the bondage of sin. They actually experience a lot of things that people who are brought up in church just flat out don't experience. And it's only by the grace of God, again. But they have done everything that there is to be done. They've tried everything that there is to try. Okay, if we're just being honest. They've lived in rebellion and wickedness against God their entire lives. But when God gets a hold of them and changes them, they remember, man, I don't want to go back to what I was. I don't want to go back to what I was. I don't want to be like that old man. When that old man tries to come up again, help me remember the Lord. Help me remember what God did for me. And again, here's the thing. Someone like that, someone that did the drugs and did the alcohol and lived the party lifestyle and lived in wickedness and rebellion against God their entire lives, and then when they're older, God saves them, I'll tell you, they don't deserve an ounce more of judgment than we do. Not an ounce. I deserve to go to hell just as much as the old drunk and the drug addict. Amen. You do too. Listen, God pulled me out of the same pit and out of the same prison that he pulled anybody out of. We are all on our way to hell unless God saves us. Amen. I'm no better than the drug addict. I'm no better than the drunk. I'm no better than someone who spends their entire paycheck on lottery tickets and everything. I'm no better than them. Don't think that you're better than anybody. God pulled me out of the same pit and out of the same prison as the worst person that can come to your mind. I'm just as guilty. I'm no better. Listen, God does not respect persons. God is not a respecter of persons. But if he saves you, all he wants is to be remembered. And the least that we can do is remember him. Remember me. Every single day. Not just on Sunday. Not just on Wednesday nights at 6:30 when we meet for youth group. Not just at 7 o'clock when we meet for prayer. Every day. Remember God. It, again, it's so much easier for someone who has brought up that lifestyle to remember what God did for them. That's something I struggle with. I'll just tell you up front, that is something I struggle with. Because I never experienced what Kenny experienced. I didn't experience what Ronald experienced. I deserve hell just as much as anybody else. So do I remember God? When should we remember God? Well, remember God when you're by yourself. Remember God when you're listening to music, teenager. Does your music glorify God? If it doesn't, you want to throw it out. Remember God when you're watching TV. Remember God when you're watching movies. You have to be careful what you watch, what you put in front of your kids. Because what you put in front of you is what's going to come into your house. And a lot of times, because of what's coming in your house through your cell phone and through your media, that is why God is not there. You want to be blessed by God like Joseph? Get rid of the trash on your phone and on your TV. Remember God when you're on your phone at night, teenager. Not just teenagers, adults too, right? Adults aren't exempt from sinning. Remember God when you're talking to your old friends. And you know how you can remember him? Talk about him. Talk about him to your unsaved friends. Yes, I don't hang out with them anymore, but I'm going to be a witness to them. And that's how I'm going to remember God. Because I'm going to tell them what he did for me. Remember God when you're upset about something, when somebody makes you mad. And let me tell you, it happens to me all the time. People always say things to me that just aggravate me. But I need to remember God. Be angry and sin not. Remember God when your kids are misbehaving. Say it again. Remember God when your kids are misbehaving. Remember God when you're at work. Man, it's so easy to forget God when you're at work and they're blasting rap music like they were at the post office the other day. And I used to listen to rap music and I found myself kind of liking it a little bit. Come on! I need to remember God in those situations. I'm not strong enough to be put in that situation, apparently, and escape it. So I put in my headphones. And I listen to music that's glorifying to God. Remember God when you're at work. When you start to be tempted to talk the way that you used to talk and go do the things that you used to do. Remember God when you're tempted to sin. Temptations come all the time. Remember God when someone offends you. Remember God when things don't go your way. God works all things out for good if you truly love him. And remember God when you fall back into sin. Because he'll get you out. I like the song, I can't remember what it's called, but it goes talking about Satan. You got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. Amen. Jesus will get you out of trouble. And here's one. Remember God when you aren't sinning. When you aren't living a wicked, rebellious lifestyle against the Lord. Remember the Lord and what he did for you because it will cause you not to sin. It will cause you not to sin. Remember God when persecution comes. Persecution's going to come. Pastors are getting arrested in Canada right now, 3 miles north. They're getting arrested for holding church services. They're spending government money to fly helicopters over these towns to see where people are meeting outside, and they are arresting people. I haven't come here yet, thank God. But when persecution comes, are you going to remember God, or are you just going to fold like a book and fly under the radar? Forget it completely. What are you going to do? You have to decide now, because in the moment, man, the devil's going to say, it'd be a lot easier to just not say anything. Remember God when times are good, and remember God when times are bad. Remember God every day of the week. Put God in your thoughts every moment of every day. 2 Peter 1 and 3, you don't have to turn there, but it mentions the word remembrance 4 times. And it's talking about how we should remember what God has done for us, lest we forget what God has done for us. Again, I didn't live the rebellious lifestyle, but I'm still rebellious by my sinful nature. I didn't do the drugs, and I didn't do the alcohol, I didn't do the gambling, I didn't go to the nightclubs. I deserve hell just as much as them, but it's a lot easier for me to forget what God did for me from the pit that he pulled me out of. That person that was like that was in that same pit next to me, but thank God he pulled me out of that pit, and I didn't have to experience the things that some of these men in here have experienced. Lord, help me to remember that I deserve hell just as much as anybody else. But thank God he died on the cross for my sins, and he's willing to forgive me if I just ask. And if you're here and you're unsaved, all you have to do is ask God to forgive you of your sins and to take you to heaven when you die. And thank God, you'll be there. And he'll help you live a life that is honoring to him. And you'll remember God. You want to pray in the morning, Lord, help me to remember you. Help me to remember what you saved me from. So what's the difference? I have this water and I haven't drank it yet. What is the difference between Joseph and the butler? One remembered the God who got him out of the pit, and one forgot the man who got him out of the prison. One remembered the God who got him out of the pit, and one forgot the man who got him out of the prison. So what's the difference between Joseph and you? There ought to be no difference. Again, Joseph was just a sinful man. And we're going to see later on, he actually lied to his brothers. When he put the cup in his brother's back, he lied. That shows you right there he wasn't perfect. So there's no difference between Joseph and you. You have the same ability to God that he had. Actually, I said Wednesday night, we have more access to God than Joseph had, because the Holy Spirit permanently indwells us if we're saved. In the Old Testament, he came and he went. So we have more access to God than Joseph did, but we don't do as much as Joseph did with his access to God. So what's the difference between Joseph and you? Hopefully nothing. What's the difference between you and the butler? The one that forgot the man that got him out of the prison? That's for you to determine. That's for you to determine. So are you going to remember what God did for you on the non-church days and on the days where you're tempted and on the days where you just want to do the things that you used to do? Or are you just going to forget like nothing ever happened? Are you going to be like the butler who most likely was ashamed, didn't want to bring up the name of Joseph, just wanted to kind of fly under the radar? What are you going to do? Who are you going to be like? Hopefully, you remember what God brought you from and what he saved you from. He saved me from a wicked lifestyle. And guess what? I still have the ability to live a wicked lifestyle. So when you forget what God did for you, you live like he did nothing for you. When you forget what God did for you, you live like he did nothing for you. You are doing more harm to the kingdom than good. 2 Peter chapter 3, I think it says, it would be better for them to have never known than to have known. Okay, talking about salvation. These people that they get saved and they just continue to live wickedly, it'd be better for them to have never been saved in the first place. Hopefully, that will never be said about you. Hopefully, that will never be said about me. But when you forget what God did for you, it's like he did nothing for you. And it doesn't matter what kind of upbringing you had, okay? Joseph was in a family that was pretty messed up, but he still chose to be obedient to God, and because of that reason, God was with him. It doesn't matter what you've been into. God saved me out of the same pit that he saved anybody else out of. We're all on our way to hell, unless we've been saved. And God reaches down in his grace and his mercy for us, and he pulls us out. And he sets our feet upon the rock that is Christ. So Joseph was in the pit. And guess what? God got him out. And he's in the prison. And you'll see next week, God gets him out of the prison too. And Joseph remembered God. And let me say this in closing. If you are saved, you are bound for the pit of hell. You are a prisoner of sin. And one day, like Joseph, you will be in the palace of the king. Hey, man, you are in the pit, you are in the prison, and one day if you're saved, you will be in the palace with the king, just like Joseph. But in the meantime, how are you living? You will be a more godly person if you remember what God did for you. You will be a more godly person if you remember what God did for you. You will point more people to Christ if you remember what God did for you. Kenny, you'll hand out more tracts to people if you remember what God did for you. Because you see the way that these people are living, and you don't want them to live the same way that you did. You'll be a more godly person. You'll live more godly if you remember what the Lord did for you. The butler forgot Joseph. Joseph was just a man. But if somebody prophesied something, one of your dreams, you would tell everybody. Are you ashamed? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? We went to a youth conference. Kylie and Peyton and Adriana went, and the theme was, I am not ashamed. Adriana's actually wearing the shirt, and the verse is, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Someone that's not ashamed, if someone that remembers what God did for them, doesn't want to see other people go through that. So how are you living? How are you living? Don't forget what God has done for you. Destined for hell, but he is willing to save. And if you're unsaved, I'll challenge you. Come talk to me, talk to Brother Dave, Brother Young. Talk to somebody and get your salvation settled, because eternity is a long time to be wrong. God's will is for all men to be saved, but he gave us a free will, and we can choose. Either a yes or a no. Hold on.
Okay. 2 Kings tells us Israel was starving to death because the Assyrians had surrounded the city, and a group of lepers found food in the tents and started to eat, and they said, what are we doing? And how is it that we should eat and our brethren are starving to death? Lepers who have found food and want to share it with others. And that's a struggle for us. We're supposed to be honest with each other. It is a struggle. Shouldn't be. Greatest news ever given. Greatest gift ever given. We're going to sing one hymn. We're going to sing 24. God is so good. He's so good to me. He died for me. He answers prayer. Awesome. We'll sing all four verses. 24.
Better than I was last week. Help me to be smarter than I was last week. Help me to become more caring. Help me to share. Tell our kids it's just that simple. We believe it ourselves.
Lord, I thank you for today.
Thank you, Lord, so much for your message. Thank you, Lord, for Jake being willing, Lord, to study, Lord, and to share your word. Lord, give us today as your day to focus on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We leave. Okay, is there any announcements? Nothing pressing that I know of. Pray for family camp that's coming up.
Remember to
pray for each other this week. Grab a track on the way out. Let's be obedient with one this week. All right?